You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Shot blocked. Porzingis with his fourth projection. Courtney Lee for three.
Beasley lines up. Ntilikina.
What he does is contagious. He comes in, touches.
And across the lane. Baker launches. Jack to Porzingis. Fires up the ball.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of explaining, complaining, and entertaining. I'm your host, James Marcella, a.k.a. Walt Clyde Frazier Crane, a.k.a. Marty McClyde. A.K.A. I know you Clyde are gonna Willis Reed when I'm gone. You may know me as NBA Injury Report on Twitter. And this is episode 329. Woo! I need to stop sounding like some Southern freak. Sorry, no offense to Southern freaks. On today's show, Knicks and Morty Part 3. On the newest installment of this Peabody Award-winning series, we find out what the New York Knicks would do if we were trapped in a horrible alternate reality in which basketball doesn't exist. What are they going to do? We're trapped here. Like I said, on today's installment, we got a couple new Knicks. Damian Dotson, Trey Burke, Enes Kanter, and Tim Hardaway Jr. After that, it's only the heavy hitters coming up. One quick announcement before we start. We're doing voicemail bags still. 929-377-5103. Call 929-377-5103 and leave me some ponderings, some musings, some questions, some concerns, and we'll throw it up on the voicemail bag. You'll hear your beautiful voice. It'll be great. We'll all love it. All right, Knicks and Morty, part three. Let's start the show. Hit him up.
Yes.
Let's talk about Damian Dotson. Do you want to start or should I?
I'll start.
All right.
So, Dotson, this is like hella boring, but honestly, I just... Alright, so first off, what we know about Damian Dotson, I feel like mostly based off of, you know, his off-court presence on like social media and whatnot, is just that this dude, when he's not playing basketball professionally, is at a gym shooting basketballs or in a gym lifting weights or whatever. He's also like super, super fit. Like he's probably one of the most cut up dudes on the Knicks as far as like muscles go. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of boring, but I think he would be a personal trainer. Like he's like that grind don't stop type of guy. I think he could motivate people enough. You know what I mean? Like he would be one of those like lead by example types where he'd be like, get that rep. Like I'm gonna, you know, I'm going up right after you and I'm gonna get that rep.
But he's so, like, a good you get that one, rep, right? Too. Like he's paying attention to you. He's not just kind of like looking at his phone while you're doing stuff.
No, like he gives a shit. Like he's like when you're paying him to train you, he's like fully on top of you, like making sure that you're getting all your reps. He sits there and he'll yell at you a little bit, but like in a not in like a mean way, but like in a way like to motivate you, to get you to get that last rep or whatever. I don't know, something about how the way he carries himself, I can't see him not
he's
still being an athlete or athlete adjacent type of person.
I hear you. He's wearing a t-shirt that's very tight around the arms, so you can see how big his biceps are. He's on Facebook posting motivational quotes.
He tags clients so that they'll like, you know, spread the word so he can get better clients and
lots
stuff.
Lots of hashtags. He uses clients on like Instagram, like Instagram videos. He's like, look at like Morty getting after it this morning. Like, you know, he's putting in the work. I'm so proud of him. Almost like a Chris Brickley type.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Very similar, but not basketball. Cause again, basketball doesn't exist in this.
It does not exist in the reality.
He might be training football players, you know, baseball players, whatever. We're assuming all these other Flonkerton, you know.
Yeah, I could really see him barking at you while you're doing the ropes. I mean, you're like making them do waves or whatever that's called. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Those big ropes on the floor. Does that have a name?
I could for sure see that. I don't know if that has a name, but yeah, like I think that's just kind of one of those old school things that's like has evolved from like in the back of a farm to being like a very trendy exercise now.
Mm-hmm.
can see that.
That doesn't really have a name necessarily. Like rope.
It's the weight. Cross-fitizization of fitness, you know?
Yeah.
That's what it's about. It's a little sad. It's a little sad, to be honest. Whatever happened to push-ups and sit-ups, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Medicine balls.
And running. You know? Good old running.
Wrestling alligators. The classics.
Wrestling.
Yeah.
Greco-Roman wrestling, you know?
Greco-Roman wrestling in the style of the Greco-Romans, for sure.
With skin infections and all, you know?
I could see him being a wrestling coach. This kind of makes sense. It's
possible.
He's wearing tight clothing, like one way or another, showing off his physique.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah. I had a different thing. I was kind of going off of... I latched on to the Houston thing. He was born in Houston, went to, you know, school there. So here's what's going on. He is a monster truck driver, and his persona is, like, kind of cowboy-themed. I just want you to picture for a moment him in a monster truck wearing, like, a huge cowboy hat, and he's, like, going over some jump, and he's screaming yeehaw or something like that. And the thing is, like, he is not personally into, like, being a cowboy. That's not really what he's about. But he loves cars, loves them, and he wants to make a living doing something related to what he loves. And he figures that the cowboy thing, they're in Texas, it'll be a commercial success. Like, that's kind of what he's banking on. It's a little bit like Don Cheadle's character in Boogie Nights, only more successful. Don Cheadle thinks he's got to be, like, a cowboy to sell stereos in Boogie Nights. A fine film, one of PTA's best. But basically, so what's going on with Damian Dotson here, he's paying the bills being a monster truck driver, but what he's really into is working on his slab. Are you familiar with slabs?
No.
So it's a Houston thing, and it's basically dudes who customize their cars. It's like Pit My Ride type shit. They call it slabs. And they have, you know, it's like they have massive sound systems in their trunks. They have, like, custom upholstery and all that. But I'm not an expert on this at all. But, like, there's a Anthony Bourdain, there's a No Reservations episode about this. And, like, Paul Wall's, like, look at my slab and shit. So the little I do know about it, I've seen it in some other places. They have these rims where, like, the center of the rim sticks out, like, 2 feet in a point. It almost looks like something that a chariot would have on its wheels to, like, stop opposing chariots from, like, trying to, like, destroy their wheels. But it's, like, it's just custom car culture in Houston. And that's what I think Dotson would be into. And he wants to find some way to kind of just subsidize that life and do something that's, like, still kind of in his wheelhouse.
So he's a cowboy monster truck driver.
He's a cowboy monster truck driver. That's right.
Does he ever do dirt track racing on the side too? Like where they do ride like the super, like cross between like a super go kart and a race car around those dirt tracks?
Is that the thing where Tony Stewart killed a guy because he was mad at him?
Oh God, yeah, might.
Allegedly.
I had forgotten about that, but yeah. Yes, probably similar to that.
I neither forgive nor forget, Alex.
Yeah,
just I thought that wasn't too far. Let's talk about Trey Burke.
Never to wrong you.
Shall we move on to Trey Burke?
Sure. Yeah, you go first this time, though. Okay. I went first.
All right, here. This one's for you and Drew. Trey Burke is a world-class jewel thief in an anime movie. So here's what I sort of want you to picture. I want you to picture Trey Burke. He's on a motorcycle. He's got a helmet on. He's zooming away from a robbery on some sort of, like, insanely nice but completely silent motorcycle. Like, the muffler is, like, silenced somehow. And once again, this isn't an anime movie. So there's these kind of day-glow streaks that are trailing behind him, you know, as he leaves the city behind him in the distance. Meanwhile, he's got a classy little felt pouch that's full of diamonds. It's in his front jacket pocket. It's a leather jacket. It's got a badger sewn onto the back of it. For some reason, he feels a kinship with badgers. He works by himself, never as part of a team. He's the only one he can trust, and he loves his family more than anything. He only steals jewels to give his children a better life than he had, and he never hurts anyone. He's a thief, not a murderer. So he's got like gadgets that help him, you know, cut open glass silently. He steals the jewels, puts them in his pouch, puts it in his leather jacket, and then he zooms off into the anime night with like fluorescent lights kind of zooming behind him.
Well, you, Jesus, you wrote like a whole novel about him, huh?
Trey Burke.
All right, here's my question based off of your assessment there. So are we truly going Rick and Morty with this, where like he exists in a reality where anime is reality? Is that what we're going with here?
Yeah, it's either that or he's in a Who Killed Roger Rabbit-esque reality where he is a cartoon and the rest of life is real. It could be that too.
Okay. You know, all right.
There's a blend of the two, like Space Jam, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, like Space Jam, Who Framed Roger Rabbit,
Cool World,
all those other movies that did that.
All those creepy, weird movies that aren't very good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I like it. That was very creative. I feel a little inadequate now because mine's kind of a total normal guy job, but whatever. You know, you do you. Uh-huh. I'll do me over here.
Yeah.
So I see Trey Burke as a small business owner. And that is not a knock on his size for what it's worth, because I swear he's not actually as short as he appears on the court. Mm-hmm. The man is like 6'2 or 6'3. He just looks small next to 7 foot tall people. Okay. Mm-hmm. But he's a small business owner.
I think he's 6 feet max, which is not small.
I think he's like, yeah, maybe like 6 foot, 6'1, something like that. Okay. Either way.
Point stands.
So he's a small business owner, maybe a barbershop.
Okay.
And the reason he's a small business owner is because small business owners are always underdogs. They don't quit. And he would have the patience to see it through, just like he did his NBA career, where he got drafted high, didn't do so well in one place, didn't do so well in another place, intentionally took the hard road through the Knicks organization because he saw a path for himself to actually find success there.
Yeah.
And then eventually found his success, and now – at least based off last season, seems like maybe he could, you know, have a solid niche on the Knicks, just like small businesses have a solid niche in the community.
I like it. I could see him being a cornerstone of a community too. You
know, mm-hmm. Like it would be like the most popular, like poppin' barbershop on the block.
Yeah. People, like, he gives people advice. He's on whatever, you know, community board too. Like, he helps out. He cares about everything, you know. He's not just, it's not just a business. It's a way for him to stay rooted.
Yeah, he's in the Rotary, you know.
Yes,
he does that.
Absolutely.
He goes to the meetings. Maybe he speaks, you know, every once in a while, but you know, he's pretty soft spoken amongst the crowd like that. But amongst his customers, you know.
He sponsors youth sports teams, and they've got the name of, is it like Burke's Books? Is it a bookstore? What'd you say it was? Like, we don't know.
I said a barbershop.
A barbershop. But yeah, okay. Burke's Barbershop. Barber Burke.
Litters the walls with all the pictures of the sports teams that he sponsors and stuff.
Yeah, oh yeah, and like they participate in, like, they play softball. They got some trophies. They've won some softball leagues.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Maybe it's a pizzeria. Maybe he does a pizzeria, because you know what? He's like, someone tells him, oh, you shouldn't do a pizzeria because there's a zillion pizzerias already anyway, and he's like, no, I got this. Like,
yeah,
my pizza could be the best pizzeria. You'll see.
I love it.
And yeah.
I could see him. I could definitely see him being really skilled at stretching out the dough.
Mm-hmm.
He does it in the front mm-hmm. window. He's kind of like the guy who owns, what's it called? It's like right up by where I live. Oh, this is embarrassing. Pizza Midwood. Why am I? I'm ashamed. DeFara. He's like DeFara, who's like this 80-year-old dude who owns DeFara's Pizza in Brooklyn. And he still is the only dude who makes the pizza, because like he trusts.
I'm just imagining in this basketballless reality,
mm-hmm.
he takes like a big wad of pizza dough and he's like putting it through his legs and like shoots like a faux jumper up in the air, and he doesn't quite know why.
Yes,
he has to put the dough through his legs, and he does all these fancy moves, and everybody thinks it's really cool.
And it's like, and he like he, when he does it, he kind of like, he looks off in the distance, and he like, There's a hint of like in his eye that like there's a whisper, there's a ghost of this other reality where basketball does exist, but he just can't put his finger on it.
Yep. All right. It's pizza shop owner. That's what it is.
Yeah, I like it.
We nailed it.
Yeah, we really did. This is good. It's collaborative. Feeling the flow. Speaking of flow, let's keep it moving. Let's talk about Enes Kanter.
Wait! Before we get to Enes Kanter, I just want to remind you that you are listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every single day.
So, Enes Kanter has proven himself to be a pretty... When you first look at him and see how he acts, you think maybe he's a doof. But then underneath, there is definitely like a socially conscious individual.
True.
Someone who understands politics to a degree, things of that nature. So I've got Enes Kanter as a foreign ambassador, but he also acts like he's in a mid-90s Adam Sandler movie. Like, he's kind of like the Billy Madison of foreign ambassadors, or the Waterboy, you know, where he's just like, he's kind of a misfit. He's stirring things up, you know, whatever, but he's also strangely like the best one at his job.
So he's like an idiot savant of some sort.
Of being a foreign ambassador. Yeah. I mean, he closes all the international deals, you know, whatever, like they call him in to speak at different things and he kills it. But then like he goes and, makes lewd jokes afterwards, and
it almost feels like it's that there's a hint of like a Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack,
maybe a little bit, yeah,
a hint, but maybe combined with Chevy Chase in Caddyshack because he's the one who's actually got the golf skill. I don't know why this is like making me feel Caddyshack so strongly, but
I don't know. I imagine kind of like, I guess Billy Madison's not the best one but like the Waterboy, where right. It's like, you know, you're like, oh, this kid can't do it. And then someone makes fun of his mama and then, you know, he goes crazy. Except for in this case, he's Bobby Boucher normally. But then when it comes down to the time when he has to get serious about politics, he's like, he knows it. He's got it.
So you know, almost like a Legally Blonde, perhaps?
Maybe a little bit. Yeah.
Mixed with like Forrest Gump?
Yeah, in a way. But I'm not trying to
avoid Forrest Gump. It's Waterboy.
I could see like Legally Blonde, maybe like that, where like, you know, he's a lot more than what he is on the surface, kind of thing.
Yeah. So yeah, a mixture of the Waterboy of foreign ambassadors mixed with Legally Blonde. I like that. I see that. It gives him much more dignity than I do. I got this image in my head and I couldn't think. I was like, that's it. That's what it has to be. So in this alternate timeline, there's a reboot of the Barney franchise, the big purple dinosaur, and Enes Kanter is Barney. He's the guy in the suit.
That's a staple of my childhood, by the way.
So. Is it?
Yeah. I watched that like when I was like, you know, whatever, like 2, 3, 4 years old. That was like my thing.
And can't you just picture Enes Kanter kind of jumping from foot to foot and just be like, "I love you, you love."
I could see it, but he would do like the cool new like 2018 hip hop version of Barney, you know, where he'd be more progressive and you know, he'd like rap and stuff like that.
He just kind of like a Migos cadence, it's like he puts on the dreads
and the sunglasses or whatever, and does his.
And he does the corny hip hop stance where you kind of like tilt your torso a little bit and like cross your arms, you know.
He's
like,
yeah.
Mm. Once I got that image in my head, I couldn't get it out. But I think just like the real Enes Kanter, I think it's probably masking something. This is sad, but I feel like he probably goes home some nights and just cries for a long time. He takes off the Barney head. He's still got the Barney body on, and he just weeps.
Is it because he's playing a giant purple dinosaur on TV?
It might be that. Maybe he's also separated from his family in this reality. You know, maybe he can't get away from... It might not be 100% different, you know?
You know, I do hope that there's one of our alternate realities where Enes Kanter does get to regularly communicate with his family and, like, not be separated from them. That would be nice for him.
I agree. Let's make it this one. I'm making it hard enough that he's Barney. He's crying because he's Barney in this one. He's just like, I love the kids.
His parents are safe.
He's like, I want to make the kids happy. That's great, but I have more to offer, you know? But people see me as a clown, and I don't know how to get out of this.
So in that case, he's sort of like Steve on Blue's Blues. Remember that?
I remember the show, but is that like a thing? Does Steve want more?
Yeah, kind of. Like, he eventually left the show because he was just like, I want to, like, pursue something different. Like, I don't want to be Steve from Blue's Clues for, like, my whole life. And so he, like, tried to, like, start a band or something. Like, nowadays, I don't really know what he does.
Are you
but
sure
he, like, tried to
kill
like,
himself? Because
no, that didn't actually happen. That was like a dawning of the social media era rumor came out. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but he went ahead and confirmed like no, that did not happen. He was in the news recently for something. He responded to something or whatever. Like I forget.
Dude?
No.
Okay. Good.
God, that's what your brain goes to.
Like, he's a man in the news in 2018. There's only like two things you could basically be doing.
Who's gonna Me Too him? The CGI dog?
Someone on set? His makeup artist?
Yeah,
apparently,
maybe
he appeared in Homicide: Life on the Street.
Huh.
At some point. And Law and Order. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's basically Enes Kanter.
Enes Kanter is Steve, but as Barney.
Yes, exactly.
Got it.
Let's move on to Tim Hardaway Jr. I'm going to start with this one.
Okay.
I think Hardaway Jr. in this alternate timeline without basketball is a salsa instructor in Connecticut. It's a similar vibe to Joakim Noah being kind of like a zipline business owner in Costa Rica. I think Tim Hardaway Jr., he's got that shimmy that he does, you know, like the Hardaway shimmy, you know, that he took from his father, which tells me he's got a little bit of that salsa kind of like hip movement shake in him, even though that's more of like a shoulder thing. But I could just, I see him doing that. I see him stealing people's girlfriends even more than Joakim Noah. Like, that, maybe they come in for couples lessons and he's kind of like, he smiles at them and they find him irresistible. Or maybe he's hitting on rich guys' wives who, they bought their wives like salsa lessons, like some finance guys from Wall Street. They buy their wives salsa lessons so they can go out with their bros and like cheat on their wife like during the weekend. But the joke's on them because Tim Hardaway Jr. is seducing their neglected wife and she's loving every second of it. She's like, finally someone pays attention to me. They like me for me. And salsa is like, it's pretty dope. Like, salsa's cool, but it's just like kind of a little cheesy. Like, it's not like super hip necessarily, but it's not bad. You know, it's just like, it's not the most current thing, but that's kind of what I see as Hardaway. Like, he's sort of cool, but he's, like, a little corny, too. He's a little timeless, like salsa is, but... and it's definitely in Connecticut. No question, in my mind, in Connecticut. That's Tim
Connecticut.
Hardaway. Yeah.
Why is it Connecticut, specifically? Like, isn't he... He's from, like... Where did he grow up?
Miami.
Yeah, he grew up in Florida, right? That's
yeah,
what I thought.
Uh-huh. It's part of the stealing rich guys' wives narratives, which is very
but
important.
Isn't Miami like the hotbed for A, salsa dancing, B, like people that would theoretically cheat on their spouses?
Well, cheating is universal, I'm sorry to say. But
yeah,
and I don't know.
I guess it's just Miami's reputation is like a very like Sin City kind of place, you know
it
what
is.
I mean? Like, there's like just a place where there's never anything wholesome going on at any given time.
It's because he, by virtue of just being a salsa dancer, is somehow like exotic in this community.
Okay.
That's what's going on there. Versus like Miami where like that's just very normal. Like,
does he ever put on a fake Hispanic accent to impress people?
Yes. Absolutely. He hangs out at Applebee's. Like, he's just like a fixture at their happy hour.
Oh, jeez, you're really doing him dirty.
but he's not, listen, he's not, he does not have a partner in this. He's just showing other people's partners who have long ago abandoned them what it means to love again. Like, he's helping people get their groove back.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right. I got you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What are you up for, all right, for THJ?
So my thought for Tim Hardaway Jr. is that he would be an actor.
Mm.
I think he would be an actor. Here's what I'm thinking, right? So this is assuming that in this reality, Tim Hardaway Sr. somehow is also still a pro athlete because he obviously couldn't play basketball in a reality with no basketball. But assuming that Tim Hardaway Sr. Made it in some sport, maybe football, something like that. So Tim still had basically the same backstory of he's still the son of a pro athlete, but unlike basketball, where Tim was good enough to make it to the NBA, in this he is not good enough to make it pro, and he realizes that at an early enough time that he starts dedicating himself to being an actor instead. Because just like in this reality, like Tim has said in some interviews, he loved his dad, but his dad also wrote him all the time, like trying to get him to become a pro athlete. So once he realized he wasn't good enough for that, he needed something to take him away from his dad, sort of, so that he had an escape. So he went to acting instead. Right. So
how successful an actor is he in this situation, do we think?
So I'm relating him to maybe John David Washington, who's Denzel Washington's son. He acts on the show Ballers.
Okay.
He was an actual, I believe, D1 football player and had NFL aspirations, but wasn't quite good enough. But he still looks and acts the part of an athlete. So he's on Ballers playing an NFL wide receiver. So I kind of think that Tim's thing would be sort of like that. Like, he'd be kind of typecast. Like, he wouldn't necessarily become like The Rock, you know what I mean? But he'd be typecast into like some good athlete roles, and he'd play them well. But he couldn't necessarily step in and, you know, take an Oscar-winning role, something like that. I don't think he'd be quite good enough for that. But, you know, he's good-looking. He can deliver his lines well. You know, whatever. He'd be good for it.
Maybe hopefully he lands on, like, a TV show that's athlete-centered, like some sort of Friday Night Lights type thing.
Or something like Ballers, you know? Yeah. Find something like that to kind of...
Better than Ballers, though. Better than Ballers.
Right? Ballers is a good show.
I haven't really seen it, but it's got to be bad. It has to be terrible.
You should watch it. It's a really good show. It's a fun show.
Define good. Fun? I want people to still respect you. So can you clarify what you mean by good?
Well, so like, I really like The Rock, so I was an easy sell on the show. But I've only watched about the first season and a half. I gotta get back to it someday. But basically it's like The Rock is like sort of like an agent, but also like a financial advisor for like football players and stuff. And I guess having not watched Entourage, I've heard that it's kind of Entourage-esque, but with sports, basically. So it's a funny show. It's got its serious moments, but mostly it's really funny. But it's got enough drama on the back end to kind of push it through.
So this is what you did with your HBO login.
No, this was actually from a couple years ago. Back when my fiance's dad had HBO, I used his login because a friend was like, tell me that I had to watch Ballers because it was really good. So I used his HBO login, but then my fiance's dad didn't re-up his HBO, so then I lost it there.
I want to talk to our listeners one more time. So Alex, you know, he's never seen The Sopranos, but he's seen Ballers. So just please don't be like Alex. Please watch The Sopranos before you watch Ballers. Just, you only get one chance on this earth. Make sure you do the most with it. You know what I mean?
All right. Yeah, I am gonna watch. I am gonna watch Sopranos though. Sopranos is on Amazon Prime.
Will you? Will you really? You've been breaking my heart for well over a year now. Why not? If you have any positive feelings for me, Alex, please start watching The Sopranos within the next month.
Okay. All right.
All right. I mean, I don't want to just sever our relationship like that, but sometimes you got to be hard with someone.
Are you gonna ultimatum me? Is that what's gonna happen?
I'm not there yet. We'll see. I'm getting closer though. You're pushing me closer.
Okay.
Let's talk about Kevin Knox. Not so fast. If you want to hear what Kevin Knox is gonna do in this horrible alternate reality, you're gonna have to listen to Knicks and Morty Part 4 coming up next week on Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every single day. That's it for today's show. I want to thank you guys so much for listening. If you've got a moment or two, rate us on iTunes. Subscribe to the show if you have not already. Subscriptions mean so much to us. Tell your friends about the sensation that is Locked On Knicks. Tell your roadies about Locked On Knicks. I know we have a lot of professional musicians listening to this. Tell your roadies. They're going to love it. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Knicks. For general camaraderie and bonus takes or NBA injury report for jokes about basketball. Be chill to each other if you can. It's tough sometimes, but try. Spay and neuter your pets, no excuses. If it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. Doo-doo smells bad. Always salt the pasta water. Take that, take that, take that for data. Biggie's the best rapper of all time. Come on. What are we doing here? Be serious. Peace!